Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and if you have any special prayer concerns, you can email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship, or you can log on to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. And log on to the prayer concerns. Our ministry has seen some wonderful miracles and healings of God working in people's lives through the prayers that people pray. We've been working a series on the Apostles' Creed, and we're coming up to the almost the last line, and we're going to look at the life everlasting. I'm going to read the Apostles' Creed to you. If you know it, you can say it along with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What is everlasting life? Who listening today wants everlasting life? Why was this line added to the end of the Apostles' Creed? These are a few of the questions that come to my mind as I think about the closing line of the Apostles' Creed. And listen, if you haven't had a chance to listen to all the broadcasts and listen to, I think there's been 11 of them, you can go to our website or you can email me and I'll send you copies of the manuscripts on this wonderful Apostles' Creed. Last week, we talked briefly about our hope being anchored in the fact, the reality, and the truth of the resurrection. Now we turn our thoughts to the last line, and life everlasting. There's much written on everlasting life or eternal life, and let's take a look at a few passages today. I'm going to pull out these passages of scriptures from the whole story. It would be my prayer that you would go back and reread the whole story. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. I think it's the original Nick at night. He comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, Nicodemus. And I'll digress too. Nicodemus is a Greek word, two Greek words, Niko and Demas, and it means victory of the people. Jesus took old Nick, and Nick didn't really understand what everlasting life was. And I think a lot of times we're like Nicodemus. And here's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. Really, it's John 3:15 and 3:16. But go read the story in John chapter 3, the whole story of Nick coming at the middle of the night and wants to know how to have eternal life. Nicodemus, he was a high-ranking Pharisee. He had clout. He snuck out in the middle of the night because he wanted to know more from this Jesus guy. I'm sure Nick was up most of the night. Born twice? How can that be? And yet, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were the two who took Jesus' body down from the cross and buried him. Maybe Nick got it by then. Die once, born twice. Jesus is everlasting life. In John 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. go read the Gospel of John, chapter 4, 1 to 26. Look at some of the points in the story. Maybe you can identify with her in one way or another. One, she is a Samaritan. Two, she is a woman. Three, she is living in sin. Four, she is an outcast from her own town because she does not go out to the well at the same time of day that all the other women in town go to the well. Jesus sent his disciples to town so that he could talk with the woman alone. Just a side note, Jesus might send all of your friends away too so that he can talk to you. Did you hear me? Maybe you feel all alone. Maybe you feel a little isolated. Maybe God wants to talk to you right now. Maybe he's going to talk to you through this message. From the high-ranking Pharisee to the low-ranking woman at the well, Jesus is only concerned with the heart and with your life everlasting. Remember that. Let's turn to John 4, and I'll read part of it. Before we do, let us pray. God of all grace and truth, give us a drink of this living water that gives us eternal life. Open our hearts and minds today, right now, to receive the wonderful gift of life everlasting. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 4, 1 to 26. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Verse 13, and this is where we're going to spend our time. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water, well, you'll be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." I love this story. Jesus tells the woman at the well that she can have a drink of water that will quench her thirst for life forever. Listen again to verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." John 4:13-14. I think Jesus is talking about the worldly pursuits of fame, fortune, fun, power, prestige, position, sex, security, safety, money, recognition, honor, or glory. Everyone who drinks this water, everyone who drinks after these things, well, you're going to be thirsty again. We all know that the things of this world are fleeting. And Jesus offers the woman at the well another opportunity, the spring called eternal life. The water Jesus gives comes from the spring of water welling up from eternal life. So what? What is eternal life? Where is this spring that offers the waters of eternal life? In John 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000 and then calms the storm by walking to them on water. What kind of state of mind are the disciples in? First, 5,000 are miraculously fed, and now the master is walking on the water. Here is one truth I know and can share. It is a powerful experience when Jesus walks into the storms of your life. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. And I said a statement here that it's a powerful experience when Jesus walks into the storms of your life. And I'm going to stop for a minute and say, Jesus wants to walk into your life right now. He wants to walk into your storms. He wants to walk into your stillness. He wants to walk into your fear. He wants to walk into your pain. He wants to walk into your doubt and shame. Jesus wants to walk into the storms of your life. And after this, the crowds followed Jesus because of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has just spoken to the crowd that they are looking for bread. And he talks about they're looking for the kind of bread that will perish. Jesus tells them he brings the bread of heaven in John 6:35. Go read this story in John 6. And Jesus gives a great I am statement. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Three times in this encounter with the crowds, Jesus speaks to them of eternal life. Listen to Jesus' own words in John 6:27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. In John 6:47-48, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. So what is eternal life? Realizing that he would soon be gone from this world one day, D.L. Moody said to a friend, "Someday you'll read in the papers that D.L. Moody of Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I have shall gone higher, that is all, out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that sin cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned into his glorious body. I was born in the flesh in 1837. I was born in the spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the spirit will live forever." Nicodemus, Nick at Night, figured this out. Rank doesn't matter. My hand-tailored clothes don't matter. My Gucci sandals don't matter. It doesn't matter what I eat, and if I eat at a five-star place in town, or I have the biggest house filled with the finest things, that will all perish. My spirit. Jesus is after my spirit. Jesus is after my heart. Let me say it to you. Jesus is after your spirit. Jesus is after your heart, mind, body, and soul. Our flesh will die. but our spirit will live forever. After the Last Supper, which was really known by, was not even called that by those people, Jesus prayed. He prayed for the believers in John 17. He prayed for future believers, and he prayed for himself. Yes, it's okay to pray for yourself. His prayer is found in John 17. Go to John 17 and read Jesus' prayer. The whole chapter is one long prayer. You could sit down and read it in a few minutes. This is how John, his best friend, records the opening of Jesus' prayer. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life. Did you hear me? God sent Jesus to grant eternal life. It says, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Did you hear the power of the message of eternal life in verse 2 and 3 of John 17? God has granted all authority to Jesus in order that he can be the giver of eternal life. What does Jesus say eternal life is? Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you've not ever asked Jesus into your heart, if you've never given your life to God, and maybe you just turned on the program today, God's got a message for you. He wants to give you eternal life. That's why he sent his Son. I know this message has a lot of scriptures that I've been reading to you, but the theme of eternal life is imprinted in all of them. God is eternal. In Isaiah, God is called the Lord is our rock eternal, Isaiah 26:4. And in Jeremiah, God is called the King eternal, Jeremiah 10:10. Since God is eternal, so are all of God's attributes, blessings, and love. The Psalms tell us repeatedly that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. The words eternal life are used 42 times in the New Testament. Hello, are you listening to me? The words eternal life are used 42 times. Are you still with me? Eternal life is the major theme of the Bible. For the writers of the Bible, eternal life meant more than just life everlasting. Eternal life was a quality of existence that held no pain, no more suffering, no more tears, and no more death. Eternal life meant a life that continues forever in the presence of God, whose love is unfailing and unending. Not just here, not just now, not just tomorrow, but forever and ever. During World War II, a prisoner wrote, Sunday, August 8th, 1945, Pastor Bonhoeffer led a little service which reached the hearts of all. He had hardly finished his prayer when the door opened and two evil-looking soldiers came in and barked, "Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with us." The words meant only one thing, the scaffold. As he bid his fellow prisoners goodbye, he said, quote, "These are Bonhoeffer's last words." And if you don't know Dietrich Bonhoeffer, go Google him. Read some of his writings. What a powerful pastor. These are his last words after leading a worship service. And the soldiers come in to take him to the gallows. He said, "For me, this is the beginning of a new life, eternal life." He walked out that day and died. They hung him 3 days before the war's over. So what? What is eternal life? Why would the early disciples put this in the Apostles' Creed? Better yet, why would it be the closing line? the late and marvelous preacher Ralph Stockman, while writing an Easter sermon one year, received word that a friend had died. His friend was a scholar, a doctor of philosophy from Columbia University, a distinguished missionary to China for 40 years. A daily prayer of this remarkable servant included, this is his friend's prayer, quote, O God, our Father, I accept thy gift of love. Help me to pass it on for Jesus' sake. On the morning of the missionary's death at the age of 92, Lacey Seitz said to those near his bedside, if we live the eternal life now, we will always. Did you hear it? Start living eternally now. What a profound statement. If we live the eternal life now, we will always live eternally. Yes, here it is. Here is why the apostles closed the entire creed with this line, and the life everlasting, amen. Can you hear your own version of this line? I can. Dave, don't just live for heaven. Live for heaven on earth. Each and every person I put you in contact with needs a drink of living water. Pour out. Don't count the cost. The cost we're talking about are taking souls, the souls who need eternal life. People need living water. Friends, don't wait to live eternally. Let us start today and live every day in the presence of the living God. Friends, we have the living water to share. We have the bread of life to share. We need to share everlasting life with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and even our strangers. How do we live eternally now? Focus on Jesus, the wave walker, and not the waves of life. Focus on your Savior and not the storms. Focus on the cross and not the crime or the criminal. Focus on heaven and not the hurt. Focus on God's hope, not the hopeless situations you face. Focus on God's mercy and not the mockery. Focus on God's grace and not the gossip. Stop gossiping. Focus on God's grace and not the gossip. Focus on God's love and share this love with the lost. Focus on the power of the resurrection. And let this power resurrect, revive, restore, renew, reconcile, and redeem your life today, every day, and forever. Both Nick at Night and the woman at the well figured out the secret of life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and begin living eternally in his never-failing love, unending grace, and ever-flowing mercy. Come to the water and drink from the springs of eternal life. Come to the bread of life and eat and have life eternal and life everlasting. Next week, we will conclude with an amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks that we can start living eternally right now. Help us to live eternally and live for you, sharing the water of life and the bread of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you with an unfailing love, and so do I. I would ask that you would pray for my dear friend, Dr. Herman, who sponsors this program. He has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and pray for his wife, Barbara. And if you'd like to help sponsor The Seed of Faith, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and log on and support this ministry. Know that God loves you, and start living eternally right now. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.